This is not a funeral. This is a celebration of life. The life that Jesus gave Jane and the life that Jane gave us. A young lady who had early battles in life, difficult moments. But how many of you have found that Jesus knows how to untie all the knots? And he knows how to bring good out of all of the difficult places. Thank you for being here today. And if we need to, we'll pull in some more seats. But we've got some more seats up front here. Jane's been a part of this fellowship for more than 37 years, but she's worked across the hall from me for 37 years. I have the wonderful privilege of being the pastor here, or the pester, depending on how you look at it. She and I had a relationship as, I guess you would say, brother-sister, and she was a friend. I got to vent, she listened, and she didn't tell anybody. She was a confidant, and we returned that favor to one another. She was born in October of 1957. I think the 57 Chevy is probably one of the prettiest cars around. You could have bought one back in 1957 for $2,700. A dollar back then, it would take $10 now to buy what you could have bought with $1 back in that day. Not only that, but Elvis Presley bought his mansion in Memphis, later on named it Graceland in 1957, 270,000 babies were born on the same day as Jane, but God gave us her. And then God gave her Earl, and she and Earl gave us her family, which we'll talk about. Tamara and Heath are being fruitful, or they were, and they have brought into the world some wonderful, wonderful grandkids for Jane and Earl. And most recently, she was working on a baby quilt in the back with Karen and company. She got into quilting and did a magnificent job. I think you may see the picture of the quilt, a beautiful green quilt for her great, great grandbaby, and or for her great grandbaby. I'm making her older than what she was. Which he's here today inspecting, so he's keeping an eye on everybody. And so we are here today to celebrate a life well lived. Now, for those of you who are home folk, when you leave, the guys will be standing at the door with a offering plate. And so we got to pay the lights. Thank you for your faithfulness. If you're a guest today, keep your hands in your pocket. You don't have to give a thing. We're just glad you're here. Is that okay? Would you turn to somebody next to you and tell them, smile, it's okay. It's a celebration day. Now, our custom here, and one of the things that Jane loved to do, was to worship. You'll notice a flute on the table. There were times when right over here she would play that flute during service. Every once in a while she might grab a tambourine and give it a lick or two. She loved to worship, and so we're going to worship. We're not going to sing songs. We're going to worship, and those songs say something about the one she loved, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to ask Dale if he would come, and he would open our service with prayer, sir. And after he prays, I ask you if you'd like to, if you're comfortable doing that, to stand with us as we just take a few moments for worship.
Hallelujah. We love Jane. We love Jane. Hallelujah, Father God. Lord, I know David said in Psalm 27, one thing I ask, and this I also seek, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and that I might gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and meditate in his temple. Precious Father, we know that our sister Jane is gazing upon your beauty for all eternity. And God, today we want to join in the worship, God, that she's experiencing even right now. We want to join our hearts. And God, your word talks about, he said, the king's heart is like water in the Lord's hand. He turns it however he will. Lord, we're asking you to help our hearts turn toward you today in a wonderful way, that we might express to you, God, the praise, God, that is due you, God, the glory, God, that you deserve. And so, God, we pray, Father, that you will receive all the glory, the honor, and the praise, God, in this house today, that the spirit, God, of heaviness might be absorbed, God, and done away with the praises, God, as we lift them up to you this morning. So we give you the glory, Lord, and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
If you can, would you stand with us? Some of you are already standing because you don't have a seat.
the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire, the darkest night. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. That's in front of me.
will be thrown into the midst of the sea. Through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well, it is well. So let God, my soul, and trust in Him. The waves and wind still know His name. So let God. Trust in Him, the waves and wind still know His name. The waves and wind still know His name. It is well.
Good morning. My name is Anita Jordan, and I'm going to read some letters that people have given me for Jane, and then I'm going to share my heart. The first one is from Jane Brown, Brother Gene Brown's wife. She says, I have not had the privilege of knowing Jane Bennett as long as many of you have, but she was the type person that when you met her, you felt like you had known her all your life. Jane and I just hit it off right from the start as both of us shared something in common. Both of us have the name Jane. And with that thought in mind, in honor of her memory, I wanted to share a few things that I know about her by using the four letters of her name. The letter J, Jesus was number one in her life. And we can all agree. She gave her heart and life to Jesus, and you could see him shining through her. I took notice that in fulfilling the capacity of church secretary, that she did not consider it a job, but she did it with her heart and played the flute in worship. Today, she enjoys being in his presence face to face, and Jane kept the name of Jesus on her lips in conversations. Yes, Jesus was number one in her life. A, always had a smile, a kind or encouraging word, and a helping hand. I have a feeling Jane had an impact on the lives of many of you here today. Probably everyone would raise their hand if I asked if she ever smiled at you and said something kind or encouraging to you, or if she had ever given you a helping hand in some way. And let's not forget her hugs, those big bear hugs. They were the best. None of this was a put on, but it was always genuine from the heart. N, never a dull moment around her. I previously mentioned her smile, but oh, how infectious was her laughter. You never left out of a room the same way you were when you were around Jane Bennett. She loved to tease, she loved to have fun, and to see you uplifted. You knew when she was in the room. Some of us probably have some great stories about Jane, which will now be treasured memories for the rest of our lives. Sounds like you do, Sloan. E, extraordinary in every way. Surely you will agree with me that Jane Bennett was indeed an extraordinary woman of God. The dictionary defines that as remarkable, amazing, marvelous, wonderful, outstanding, and unforgettable. That pretty much sums up this wife, mother, grandmother, sibling, friend, and sister in the Lord. Jane may have been a person short in stature, but in my eyes, she stood mighty tall. Isn't that how you saw her too? She was truly extraordinary in every way. We will miss you, Jane Bennett. This is from Karen Bradford. Everyone claimed Jane. She just connected with everyone she met. Earl and Jane came to Point about the same time that I did, back in 1982 in the new church. We all sat on the same side over there in Charlene's corner, over here. Frequently, we all would be down on our knees at the altar, crying our eyes out and seeking God with all our hearts. That sealed our hearts together from the beginning. At the same time, I decided to buy a flute and learn how to play. But God had different plans, and Jane and her beautiful playing made her way into our worship. Just recently, Jane got bit by the quilting bug, and it got her good. I was so excited to have her as my quilting buddy, and before I knew it, she had bought enough material to start a quilt for almost everyone in her family. She started off with a quilt for her great-grandbaby, Ryder. She was so excited, and her all-new quilting friends were so proud of her and her first quilt. Jane, Melissa Pepper, Samantha Antley, and I started meeting at church on some Fridays to quilt. There's going to be a huge hole in our hearts and our group as we continue on without our Jane. But we are going to finish up some of her projects and just love our Jane as if she was there, because she will be in our hearts. I want to end by thanking God for allowing me to know and love Jane Bennett and her family. To know her is to love her and her whole family. This is from Steve and Kathy Catt. Every once in a while, you come across someone in life who just makes you laugh. And that is who Jane is to us. Every time I would call the church, she would answer, "Point Assembly," to which I would say, "It is." Jane's response was always the same. She would start laughing and say, "Steve Catt, what are you doing? I'm going to miss that deep southern drawl, but when I see her again, and I will see her again, perhaps there will be no conversation." In the song, I can only imagine the writer penned these words, "To my knees will I fall. Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine." I doubt Jane will have much to say to us. She'll be too busy kneeling in worship. That is how I choose to remember her, kneeling in worship. Worship on our dear friend. Last Sunday morning, my best friend passed from her physical body to her soul being in the presence of Jesus. No more struggles, no more pain, free to worship. While we as believers are here and believing in what is to come, Jane is now experiencing by sight the presence of the one she worshiped and the one that she lived for. As we were standing in Earl and Jane's yard last Sunday, we were talking about how even in our grief and in our sadness, we could sense the strength and the peace of Jesus, because we know that Jane is in his presence. It is well with her soul. I loved spending time with Jane because she was genuine. I loved listening to her talk about things she felt God had told her and shown her. There was such depth to Jane's faith. And you could feel the presence of the Holy Spirit because she was speaking from her heart. For quite a while, we served meals on Wednesday nights here at the church. I helped Brother B and Jane cook. They were the chef and the sous chef. I was the chopper and I was the peeler. We had lots of conversations during those days. Not all were serious conversations, because Jane was quite a cut up. And I loved to hear her laugh. 2 or 3 months ago, Jane wanted me to come to the church and eat lunch. I don't know how the conversation got on funerals, but Brother B asked us both what we would say at each other's funerals. We just looked at each other and said, "Well, I don't know," and laughed. I said, "I would say Jane is my pal around buddy." And she said, "You got that right." But the little sneaker made me go first. Jane and I loved to go to the movies, but it always seemed that when we were in places where we were supposed to be quiet, we would get to laughing, and we couldn't stop. I always blamed it on her, and she would give me that look and say, "Girl," and we would start it all over again. It would just be laughter. Our favorite place to eat was the Doghouse in Ruston. We loved the spinach and artichoke chicken quesadillas served with jalapeno tortillas. We made a few photography trips together, mostly locally, but we did a swamp tour, visited Fontainebleau State Park and Oak Alley Plantation with Earl, Wendy, Naomi, and her husband Clay, Lisa, Dwayne, and myself. At Oak Alley, I couldn't find Jane, but I could hear her talking. She was standing behind the hedgerow right there next to me, but the hedgerow was taller than Jane. So I couldn't see her, but I could hear her. So when I found her, she walks up to the hedgerow and she sticks her head in. She sticks her head into the hedges. I had a picture of that. I don't know why I didn't bring it, but and she stood there, and they were that much taller than her. A couple of things I know that really bothered Jane were she was claustrophobic. She did not like getting into elevators. Well, sometimes you just can't avoid getting into one. We would stand there, and she would ask, "Do I have to get in?" And I would say, "Well, if you want to get to where we're going, you're going to have to get in." She would finally get in the elevator, and then she would close her eyes, and she'd grit her teeth, and her hands would be down. And I would just back off into the corner because I didn't know if she was going to lose it or not, but she would make it. And I know the family knows what the number 48 is to Jane. She was a NASCAR fan, and you did not mess with her NASCAR driver. And I was not a NASCAR fan, so I could never remember his name, and I would call him something else. And she would tilt that head and look at me, tighten her little lips, and she'd say, "No, girl, it's Jimmy Johnson." And I was kind of relieved because I thought she might give me a left there, but she didn't. And one day when we were coming out of Lowe's and resting, there was a shopping cart there, and it had NASCAR number 48 on it. I don't know if you saw the pictures on the overhead or not. And I told her she needed to go and get a picture with it. And she said, "Oh, my gosh, people are going to see me." I said, "Girl, when has that ever stopped you?" Anyway, she went out over there, and she got behind the cart, and so we got her picture. So that was fun. Jane was a wonderful and loyal friend, and we had many times of laughter, but we had a lot of time of serious conversation. I'm going to miss her very much. I will see her again, and her prayer for all her family and her friends is to have a relationship with Jesus and represent him to others. Then in the end, we all will be together for eternity, seeing and experiencing what we believe now. And Earl, you and Jane both fulfilled your marriage vows to the fullest with flying colors. Throughout life, with all the circumstances that would come up, and the day that I sat with you and Jane at the hospital, I saw you tirelessly fulfilling, "In the name of God, I, Earl, take you, Jane, to be my wife, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish until parted by death. This is my solemn vow." And you did it. There was an old chorus that we used to sing when we first came with Jane, and she would talk about the difficulties that she had in life and the hard times, but how God had come in and how God had saved her and she had a relationship with him. And the old song was "Beauty for Ashes," and the chorus is this: "He gave me beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that we might be trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." And she has fulfilled that. She was a tree of righteousness planted by God, and that's what she wants for each and every one of us.
Jane's early life was one of great struggle. Coming to know God, she found in him a father. And there's a song that expresses that. It's one that we sing here every once in a while. It's rather old. Some of you will remember it, and you can sing it with us. Father, you're amazing.
is overwhelming, Lord. You're amazing.
Your perfect love.
Your perfect love
never ends.
Never ends in spite of me.
Oh, amazing. God, thank you for Jane. Thank you for being a father to her.
It was in 1987 that I stood for the first time on this platform. That time I got to know Brother B and Annette, and Lewis became my brother. If you've ever been around us, we argue sometimes like sisters and brothers. But the second time I came, something changed. I had an addition to my relationship here at Point. And Jane became my friend. And as the years went by, Jane became more than my friend. She became my buddy. She was the face I always looked for when I came, waiting for that smile to enter the room. Today's about Jane. But Jane's fine. And I have no doubt that God in his kindness allows her to glimpse and to join us in the praise that we bring to God today. But, you know, it's not Jane that's going to be hurting. It's those that are left here. There's a scripture that seems like a rather odd scripture to be using for this kind of a celebration, but it's in Genesis 8 and verse 22. It says this: while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. And you might think, well, how can that encourage us? You know, there are so many messages from this one verse that we could take. But as we look at it, it says that seed time and harvest won't cease. As long as the earth remains, there will be beginnings and there will be ends. There will be plantings and then there will be a harvest of that planting. Each one of us have been planted in this earth. My question is, at the end of our lifetime, what will our harvest be? There is not one person in this room who isn't going to face what Jane walked through last Sunday. Every one of us had a beginning. Every one of us will have an end. But then it says, and there will be cold and heat. If we read it in Hebrew, we would find that it's not just I'm hot or I'm cold. It's the extremes of cold and heat. The uncomfortableness of cold and heat. God didn't promise us that as long as the earth remains, as long as you trust me, you'll never have any problems and you're going to be a little happy person all the time. God said, I want you to know that there's going to be uncomfortable times cold and heat. And then he goes on and he says, and there will be summer and there will be winter. As I was meditating on this, I thought how interesting that seed time and harvest are spring and fall. Summer and winter are the seasons in between. God says there's going to be seasons in your life. And in some of those seasons, you will be fruitful and everything will be wonderful. But then you go into the winter, and in the winter time, it's barren. You look at a tree, those trees that are out there with all those leaves, just give it a few months. And you look at those trees and they look dead. But they're not dead. Why aren't they dead? Because if the tree has behaved as it should, it has drawn sustenance from the earth and it's drawn the sun in. And as a result, it's made a food that is inside the tree. And during those times when it looks so barren, the tree knows how to draw from the life that's within it. The problem comes if we don't have life within ourselves. You know, my life is not going to sustain me. My abilities are not going to sustain me. I've learned that throughout this life. What I have learned is that there is a life that is God-given inside of me that when I look and say, I can't go on, when the pain seems too real, there is a life inside me that I can draw from. And he says, and day and night will not cease. Sometimes we will understand. We will walk in the light with understanding. Other times, we're going to walk in the darkness, hardly knowing where to put the next step. But once again, God's telling us that these things will not cease. But the question is, why? Why does God allow even Christians to go through dark times and light times and times of fruitfulness and times of barrenness? Let me help you to understand that. I'm going to go over to this piano. One time my daughter was cooking with me, and I had her taste a dish that we were making that was to have sweetness in it. And I said, tell me what it needs. And she tasted it, and she said, it needs more sugar. I said, no, it's got all the sugar it needs. And she looked at me kind of strange, and I said, what it needs is salt, because the salt will enhance the sugar. And so we put the salt in, and she said, that's weird. You know, it's the same way even with music. I could play a little song for you. Isn't that fun? Now, how would you like to buy my CD? How many are going to run out and buy it? You see, the problem is this. Those are all major chords. And if music only had major chords, I promise you, music would get very boring. What makes music move? What causes it to touch our souls? If I start playing, same song, totally different feel. But why? You see, because now, major chord, minor chord, minor chord, resolve. You see, it's that movement of those dark chords and light chords. The problem is this. If we're not careful and don't know how to draw from the life of God within us, we can end up like this. And live life only on a minor chord. Right now, we're sensing a minor chord. But the beautiful part is that when a minor chord gets a resolve, all of a sudden there's peace. And I can promise you that God will bring resolve. But I've talked about drawing from the life within. How do I draw from that life within? You know, the answer is in this song. And it's a song, it's the first song I ever sang at 5 years old. It was my first solo. But what I learned as a child is what sustains me today. And what is that? Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. All of God's children to Him belong. We are weak, but He is strong. And here's the answer. If you know this inside yourself, and you can draw on that life, sing it with me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. For the Bible tells me so. You see, as long as the earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest. There will be cold and heat. There will be summer and winter. There will be day and night. But that's as long as the earth remains. But there's one thing that's going to remain long after this earth is over. And that's Jesus loves me. Amen.
Would you turn to somebody next to you and express your love to them? Would you do that? If you got a license, you can kiss them. It's okay. Now, if you don't have a license, some of you enjoyed that. That was. More than once, whether in a public meeting or just here at the church cooking in the kitchen. By the way, that's why the spoon is there. More than once, Jane said, Earl is my rock. She said, if it hadn't been for Earl Hannah Bennett, I don't know where I would be. He came along at a point where she had to make some decisions in life, and he influenced her greatly. Some of you know Jane's story. Those of you who don't, suffice it to say that it was some tough times. And Earl Hannah Bennett just made the sunlight shine brighter in her life. They fell in love. They had a daughter by the name of Tamara. Yeah, her son just said, oh, Lord. But he wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Tamara. And then they had a son named Heath. Heath Bennett. I don't know who's watching the store while he's gone because the whole police department's here. Well, Tamara's husband's name is Thomas. Heath married my niece. He's got good taste. His wife, Ashley. And then they had sons by heart, Micah Boyd, who wasn't able to be here today, and Gregory Taylor, who is here today, who got old since I saw him last. He's got a son. And then there is those grands, Sloan Wilhite, little guy. And then there's Madeline Simmons and her husband, Casey, and they have blessed the family with a grandchild. Wow, great grandchild. And there's Caitlin Bennett and Boogie, whose real name is Reagan. Yeah. And they're the smartest kids in their area. Might be the smartest people in the building here. and there's great-grandson Ryder Simmons. Sisters, brothers that she talked about often, and we could go on with that. I was in my office. Actually, I was in my office. And my friend Dwayne came in and said, "Jane's gone." And you could have knocked me over with a feather. I knew she was having a tough time. But I don't think any of us were prepared for the timing and that it was so soon. She met Earl when she was 15. He robbed a cradle. And they were married when she was 17. And they have been together ever since. They fell in love with Jesus, and that only strengthened their love and their family. As I noted earlier, Jane worked across the hall from me for 37 years. 30, some of you not that old. I got socks older than some of you guys. She served as office secretary, VBS coordinator, Sunday school teacher, media engineer, wedding. Let me tell you a story on her. She and Earl would work in the sound room upstairs, and she would do the PowerPoints, and sometimes they would lag. One would stay on, and we're supposed to go to the next one. You know what was going on? No, they weren't up there frolicking. She was worshiping and forgot all about going to the next slide. She'd say, "I'm sorry, Brother P, I just got caught up in that one." Media engineer. She was a wedding coordinator, a hostess committee chairman, and much more. She took on cleaning the guest cottage when people would come and stay and then leave. She would help clean up after banquets and weddings and receptions. And times like this, she would cook, and she would serve, and she would clean. She was an altar worker. Oh, and she was part of our security team. She carried. That always scared me. She was very much a part of the worship team, whether she was up here with us working or not. Because I think the best way to lead worship is to be a worshiper. And she did. She helped cook Wednesday meals when we did those for 100 years. And she was a church treasurer for several years. And as I noted earlier, my friend across the hall, who was always willing to listen to my vents and to keep them confidential. You'll never know the things I said about you to her. She was Mama Jane to my children and to many of you. And I see the tears today because it's not that you begrudge her being with Jesus. It's just that you miss her being here. She was Mama Jane to my children and to some of you in this room, and you will always remember her. She was Crazy Jane to some of you. Well, to all of us, she was Crazy Jane. And there were moments when she was tearful, Jane, and she expressed her emotions openly. But she was always who she was. That's one thing I can say about Jane. She didn't put on airs. What you saw is what you got. And sometimes, if you didn't want to know, you shouldn't ask. She didn't offer any facades. There was no hypocrisy. I can tell you this, she loved Earl dearly, and he loved her back. He was there with her, and he'd have fought for her, and she'd have fought for him. There in the yard the day we went by to put the happy birthday sign in the yard, I looked at the picture afterwards that I took. She was tired. And I don't guess I realized just how tired she was. But she came out. We hammered happy birthday in the ground, and the board sang at our best. We sang happy birthday to her, and we talked for a few minutes. And I'm sure she went inside and sat down. But she was out there for us. I'll take that picture. You could look at that picture, and you just see it on her face that there was hurt and pain. I've noticed that for the last year and a half or so, that she's been struggling. Well, she loved her Earl. She loved her children. She loved her grands. She loved her church family. She loved her sisters and brothers. You'll never know how much it meant to her, D.L., when you would call. And you would ask, "Is Jane there?" And I'd chase her down, and the little short legs could not run me, so give her the phone, and she would light up. Thank you for calling. Thank you, all of you, her family, for being so kind. She had a dog. She would come in and tell me what the dog tore up, and I said, I'm for hire, and I have a pistol. And don't you mess with my dog. She loved her dog. She loved Snoopy, and she outlived him. But anyway, she loved her dog. Most of all, she loved Jesus. I want to just tell you right up front that that wasn't budding angel wings. That was shoulder blades. And she wasn't perfect, but neither am I. But she served a perfect Lord, and she stands complete before him today because of what he did. In spite of our failures, and some of us here have failed miserably, but in spite of those failures, or despite those failures, he performed perfectly, and our faith and our trust is in him, and that's why she stands complete in his presence. I close with these remarks. We don't get snow out here very often. Boy, when we do, what a treat. Especially for kids in school, because they get out and get to come home, and everything shuts down around here. Get a quarter inch of ice and nobody goes anywhere. Well, I like to take that opportunity to go out in the woods and do some tracking. I can't do it without the snow, but you can get in the snow. Anybody can be a tracker in the snow, because you can see where the deer prints are. And every once in a while you see a rabbit track go across the deer trail. Leave impressions in the snow. And you know something? I learned something a long time ago, that direction determines destination. If you track a person, sometimes you can go, hey, that line's leading this way. I know where they're going. They're going home. You can tell which direction they're going. If you have a sense of direction or compass, you can say they're headed north. They're headed somewhere. In Jane's life, she left some impressions. If you want to trace her steps, well, I'm not saying there weren't moments, but it's like the little dot-to-dot you did as a kid in kindergarten or first grade, or maybe you still do them, where you draw the line from number one dot, number two dot, and all of a sudden, there you see it. It's a car with Snoopy in it, or whatever it is. It starts making sense. If you trace her life, her steps, you will find that while they may have been some zigzag here and there, they point in a direction. Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruits. She left some fruit for us to examine. It didn't have anything to do with the clothes she wore, or the bank account, or where she lived, or what she lived in. It had everything to do with the Savior she trusted. There is no name given among men whereby we must be saved except the name of Jesus the Christ. He died for our sins, not for his. He died for us. And one day salvation will be complete, and she will hear him say again, well done, thou good and faithful handmaid. I just know that is the great payoff, knowing that Jesus is pleased. And then there is this idea that if you follow the person and you follow the tracks, guess what? You wind up where they wind up. I say, are you listening? If you follow those tracks, you will wind up where they wind up. If you want to meet the Jesus she knows, then ask her family about him and how she met him and about how he has changed her life. You follow, Paul said it this way, follow me as I follow Christ. Follow me. The other day I went to town and somebody didn't know the way to Nukes. So I said, no problem. I got a well-worn path to that place. Just follow me. And guess what? We wound up at Nukes. You follow, most of all, Jesus. And one day, following him in this life unseen, there will come a moment when he is seen, that this material space-time universe will peel away. And like Stephen who died and saw Jesus standing, you will see him too. It's not just about being good, not just about cooking meals on Wednesdays. It's about believing in the one who died for our sins. Look at somebody next to you and say, I want to see you there. I want to see you. I want to see you there, Sloan. She's looking for you, buddy. I want to see you there. I want to. I want to. I want to see you there. Jesus told his disciples he was going away. They said, well, we'll go with you, even if it means dying, said Peter. And Jesus said, Peter, you don't know your own heart, buddy. Before the cock crows, you will have denied me 3 times. And then he says this on the heels of that, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it weren't so, I'd have told you. And if I go away to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. So that where I am, guess what? She didn't go to Texas. She didn't go to mosquito-ridden South Louisiana. She didn't even go to the wonderful hills and mountains of Colorado. She is in the presence of Jesus. Paul said it this way, to be absent from this body is to be present, face-to-face, adoring the Lord of glory. She sang about it. Now she's experiencing it. And if we brought her back, she'd slap the fire out of us. And rightfully so. Let me ask you as we get ready to close with a song. You ready for that journey? Shirley talked about it. There's a beginning and an end. And if Jesus tarries, we're all going to face the end. We're all going somewhere. It's a matter of what your destination will be and mine. You can make arrangements today before you leave this place. Just asking Jesus to forgive. Asking Jesus to take charge of your life. You know, if you put I and run, it's ruin. I've been guilty of that. But when you put Jesus into your life, it's life. Father, thank you for Jane. Thank you for her presence in our lives. Thank you for all the meals she cooked, all the dishes she cleaned, all the smiles she gave, all the hugs she shared. Thank you for her family that we have had the chance to get to know. Thank you for friends that came today. Thank you for puppy dogs that wag their tails and babies that smile at us. Thank you for sunsets and sunrises. Thank you for reflections on the lake. Thank you for little bugs with beautiful colors and butterfly wings that absolutely are fragile but carry the butterfly everywhere. Remind us tomorrow when the moment is tough that you're with us, and that your rod and your staff, they comfort us, that you will lead us and guide us. And if we just keep following and keep walking straight ahead, one day we'll see her again and we'll see you face to face. In Jesus' name, a blessing on the family and on you.
Upon you and be gracious to you, Lord.
thousands, generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. May his favor be upon you, and a thousand generations, and your family, and their children, and their children, and their children.
Lord, we're not here to deny grief. We're not saying it doesn't exist. But those of us who are believers grieve, but it's not hopeless grief. We have an expectation that at the end of this journey, when the harvest is over, when the sun goes down and the day ends for us, that we will stand eternally in your presence because of what Christ the Lord has done. We give glory and honor to him. And Lord, if there is one here today who has not made that step toward you before the sun sets on this day, before this day comes to its close, may they come into relationship with you, faith relationship. We believe you to do great things in this house. For marriages that may be in trouble, may you restore them today. May they make an effort to be what you call them to be and what they promise to be at an altar. For that one that is sick today in body, we pray your healing touch. For that discouraged one, encouragement, and on, we pray. May your face shine upon each one and give light for the journey. Iron shoes. in Jesus' wonderful, wonderful name. Now, some of you didn't know the songs we sing, but we're going to close out with this, and this was not on the service flow. It says, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch. I hope that doesn't stick like a chicken bone in your throat. How many of you know Jesus saved sinners? He saved me. Christ died for sinners. He died for me. We're going to sing this together. And would you stand as we sing the anthem of heaven?
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved.
Voices, you ready? And when the battle's over,
we shall wear a crown. We shall wear a crown.
Oh,
we shall wear a crown.
And
when
the battle's over,
we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem.
We'll see you. you there. God bless. Thank you for being here today.